Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wesnowski?
Here.
So we're gonna add one thing to the agenda, so on the agenda we have the transportation improvement program, but we're also going to discuss the changes to the capital improvement plan, and we have had three of them, and we're adding a third one, or a fourth one, and that's gonna be the sensitive areas ordinance, and that's what Barbara's gonna talk about today. So, anyway, I'll let Scott go ahead with the transportation improvement plan.
All right, thank you, Mayor, Council. So our six-year transportation improvement program, called the six-year TIP, a lot, we like acronyms. This is something that we have to do every year, it's required by the state, we have to do it by July 1st of every year. So this work study gives us an opportunity to show you kind of what we're looking at as far as traffic or street projects over the next 6 years. Everything on this list, obviously, we don't have enough money to do it, but to be eligible for grants or other programs, we want these projects on there, so we have an opportunity for funding. Some projects we do have listed as strictly local city funds. So as we dive into it, you'll see the first two projects, one general street improvement. That's what we use for patching. Last year we used it for widening the shoulder on Roberts Drive. We do it for smaller projects like that. That's strictly city funds. We set that aside every year. And if you need to stop me on any of these, feel free to stop me. The second one, grant matching. A lot of the grants we go after require some skin on the game on our part, so we like to have that money set aside for, you know, a 10% or 15% match, and that way we can stretch city funds a lot further that way.
Question for you.
Yep.
As we get more and more streets, what's the, you know, as the developments build up and stuff like that, eventually, right, we'll be responsible for some of those streets, right?
Yep. As the streets get built out, as they get accepted by the city and become city roadway, then we'll start to become responsible for them.
So do we need to, in our long-term plan, start scaling that $30,000 a year number up?
Likely, yeah, because we'll have a lot more, and okay, you know, as more streets are built, you know, you get about 10, 15, 20 years, those streets are gonna start deteriorating around the same time as well, so.
But most of them haven't had the final lift on them yet,
right,
so until
right,
their final
right. No, but I mean, you know, 5 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's just part of the budget process, right?
Yep, should be.
Yeah. Now the other thing too, and Andy can correct me if I'm wrong, the alleyways that we have up at 10 Trails right now, those are not going to be a city responsibility, correct? That's going to be the homeowners association, or it is the homeowners. Yeah, so that will help a little bit because there's a lot of those alleys
yeah,
up there right now.
Yep. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, that's a future impact in our budgeting process that we need to. We always, in the last 7 years that I've been on the council, basically tried to look forward in where our money was going to go and to be proactive instead of reactive
yeah,
all the time. And so that's kind of what this helps us do.
And especially as we build out those developments, right? There'll be more traffic on the other streets, so they'll wear down a little faster.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Roberts Drive, that kind of stuff.
Lake
right?
Sawyer Road.
Yeah, yeah. Lake Sawyer Road.
Yeah.
Lawson Hill.
Yeah.
Yep. Great. And this version of the six-year TIP that you have in front of you, it just kind of shows the changes that we're going to make, at least that we're proposing for the time being. So that's why there's the strike through and underline and that sort of thing. So the first number three there in red is the Roberts Drive project. That's going on right now, so we don't need to plan for that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have the Roberts Drive roundabout, so Roberts Drive 169. That's developer mitigation, possible grant funding, possible legislature earmark. In the past, there's been debate about whether or not to include these developer projects. I I think we've determined that's more of a council decision. So.
I think we should include them. We need to know what's gonna happen, right? There's work that needs to be done.
Yep.
Doesn't really.
There's also conditions, if you don't mind me interrupting, where we as a city have to put in some money.
Right.
It's not 100% necessary. Roberts Drive, yeah, I think that's all developer in the state, but there's other situations where we have to put in some money.
Well, and it's also good to know for the public to know, right, as they see that it's on our plan, we know it's gonna happen.
Right.
Right, and that, you know, it's gonna be funded. Cause we keep, I mean, constantly people are asking about Roberts.
Well, and you look over here, it tells you here on the tip what year the city's right now planning on doing these things.
Yep.
And if a grant comes through and it's farther down on the list, but we get a grant, it moves to the top of the list, so.
Yep.
$12 million for that roundabout? Is it gonna go, no?
Talk to me after 2 years out there in that traffic weather.
I'm already suffering.
For me to continue working here after.
That's right, I'm already suffering through the Maple Valley Lane expansion every morning, right?
After that, when we're pulling off the Park Street intersection improvements, that's one that we should be able to finish this year. It's mainly just striping, signage and. So now we'll move to. After that is one we've had on here for quite some times, 232nd Avenue Southeast Overlay. So this would be from 288th to 93rd. It's a road that's just been falling apart. In years past, we were hoping to get away with a chip seal, but it's probably too far gone for that now. So it would require probably a more substantial effort to grind it up and overlay it. So 288th is up on the very north part of the city, 232nd's closer to the east, the right side.
And for the record, it doesn't go as far as my house.
Scott Wood, in our discussion at Public Works committee meeting, we had talked about the Lawson Street out to the east city limit and wanting to move that up. It's now at 27, but moving that up to number 4.
Oh.
Yep, so. Yeah, that one was the Lawson Street Phase 2, which would now, we'd like it to become Lawson Street Phase 1. If you've gone out to the eastern city limits out here on Lawson Street, that road is a lot of potholes, very deteriorated, and it looks even worse because the county just paved out past that. So hopefully this year we hope to use some of our general street repair funds to patch it and maybe set ourselves up for a grant to do an overlay or chip seal.
So 27 is actually Phase 1, and you're thinking about putting it at number 4?
Number 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was happened on Tuesday.
Yep.
And then we talked about just reordering each of those projects in that similar kind of category, going down to the next where, like, 27 would become 4, and then 4 would become 7, and just move through the process like that.
Yep. So. All right. Then after 232nd, we have the Roberts Drive West City Limits. That's, if you've been out there, they're doing that right now. So that one comes off the list. Currently on this draft, number 5, the 224th Avenue Southeast Guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where 224th and 296 come together. Right at the Weir, the three Covington Creek culverts. We've had cars in the water there, so it'd be nice to hopefully help prevent that.
Twice in the last year, I think.
And the homeowner would appreciate it too.
Yeah.
Yep.
He would be happy to see those guardrails.
I bet.
Number 6. We have the downtown public parking. So as more and more people move into the town, people wanna go to the bakery, they wanna go to the museum, they wanna go to the antique store and all the places in that area. There's just not a lot of parking, so we wanna figure out a spot where we can do that.
Well, did you talk about the Rainier Housing,
No.
infill project and the potential?
Yeah, and whether we don't know, but there's some potential.
Very high potential.
That we could get some property with the redevelopment of the Rainier View, but that's something we'd have to work out with them. But that's one of the opportunities. No, we should talk about that.
Pick up.
Do you wanna?
Scoot up?
Yeah, cause you won't pick up if you're doing that.
So this is just you preliminarily, you haven't really looked at possible locations or?
Very minimal, so as we get further down this list, a lot of them are just more concept, you know, kind of a wish list, things we'd like to look into. So number seven, at the bottom, 216th Avenue Southeast overlay, so that would be basically the northwest corner of the city from 288th down to Southeast 296th. That could be a chip seal as well. We just need to look at kinda how the grants are stacking up and how our funding's looking, and you go a lot further on a chip seal than with an asphalt overlay, so. Top of the next page, the Morgan Creek pedestrian connection. So the Morgan Creek neighborhood, they're kinda cut off right now. In the past couple of years, we looked at different ways that we could get pedestrians down to State Route 169. We talked about going down the Black Diamond Ravensdale Road, but that would require county right of way, and it'd be a lot longer of a walk for pedestrians. But on the backside, that's a shorter link, and that's one we could probably have developers take care of if they wanna develop that property along 169. So that's something we looked at, and I think something that's come up in pre-app meetings as well. Number nine, the annexation road, and that would be a developer one. It won't show on this map here, but. If Andy would like to comment on that one, that would be great.
Could we change that to Cantrell's Parkway?
Cantrell's Parkway.
There is no road called Annexation Road any longer.
Oh, that's great.
So we can just use the official.
Cantrell's Parkway.
Yep.
See, number ten, that's our Rock Creek Bridge rehab project. So this, basically sealing and painting the inner side of the bridge, and Seth, feel free to chime in here on this one. So this is one we're adding in. A lot of this work would be on the north side of the bridge, I believe. The work we're doing now is on the south side, so we wanna make sure we just get that north side done too, just to keep extending the useful life of the bridge.
Well, and this in our meeting, the Public Works meeting, we saw the actual page from the TIP.
The CIP, yeah.
The CIP that shows, you know, the piping and all of that that's on the north side that would be rehabbed, and then the undersurface. So there is some backup data that goes with this.
There, the underside has areas of spalling that is not smooth concrete. So the bridge inspectors have recommended that we patch those areas. Any exposed rebar, treat those areas, and seal coat the concrete, so that cuts back in any oxygen exchange with the rebar, protects the and life of the bridge.
So this is a kind of a standard maintenance for the underside of the bridge, right?
Yes. There's, you know, we would probably need go through some permitting, because you're gonna be spraying chemical dust. You're gonna have to build a false work surface for the workers underneath there.
Over the water.
Right, so
Do you happen to know, the last time work like this was done underneath the bridge?
Looking, I think that the spalled areas were that way when it was built.
Okay, so.
That it, so I don't see any evidence that King County or anyone, right, that had ever filled those gaps. So, it'll be the first time.
Right, number 11, Robert Shrive Rehab from the library to State Route 169. This one is kind of pricey, $1.75 million. We likely won't qualify for any grants for that one until the city gets up over 5,000 people, then we can start competing with, for larger grant dollars from the Transportation Improvement Board. With that one too, after the roundabout is complete, that'll have sidewalks there, and then we'll be able to complete the sidewalk from the library to 169.
So, you know, people are gonna ask why the developer's not paying for that update, right? What's our answer? Anything we do on Robert Shrive, they're gonna ask.
Well, and Andy could maybe speak to this as well. The, what the, developer's responsibility is to address increased traffic trips. So if a road has deficient, asphalt, that's a maintenance issue, it's not a capacity issue, right? So, they, for more east-west capacity, they are already committed to building the pipeline road for more east-west capacity, building a new arterial north of Robert Shrive's. Robert Shrive is, we have no plans to increase that width to, say, a four-lane road. It's gonna stay a two-lane road. So maintenance of that road, that's our responsibility. Does that make sense?
As long as we have an answer.
Okay.
I mean, and it's a good answer, but you, people are gonna ask, right? I mean, they're already thinking that Tin Trail should pay for everything, so.
Yeah, but we can't.
But they're building a new road, so.
No, I know, but we gotta have an answer to the question.
I mean, and the reason they paved other sections of the road was because they needed a water main.
Right.
And put the water main in and paved those sections, but that was, it wasn't because they were gonna fix our pavement, it was patching or replacing asphalt after they put the utilities in.
See, number 12, we have the State Route 169, Robert Shrive to James Street sidewalk, so this would be coming off the roundabout and then heading south down 169. We'd likely set this up on the west side of the road. Recently, we got an easement, I believe, for pedestrian access or a portion of that, so that will be helpful, and that helps set us up for, making the city even more walkable. Number 13, another developer-funded project, we have the North Connector. Once again, that's not on the map here. That's just on there because it's a developer project, so.
So where about on the map would that be?
Are you familiar with the North Triangle, that little triangle that, on 169? It would serve their property, commercial and multifamily to the south of there, and eventually then it would tie into, the pipeline road. So it's an, it's a north-south alternative to State Route 169 locally.
Okay.
So the comp plan, remember, has had all those mapping appendices, that's where the maps for these.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are all in there?
Yeah.
I didn't remember all of them, sorry.
I know, so if you want, if you want me to send you those map figures, you know, as you're reviewing this.
Well, they're in the documents that we.
They are in the document, yeah, those last three pages of the whole document are, we'll map this for you, yeah.
See, number 14, we have the Morgan Creek Neighborhood Roads Preservation. So the Morgan Creek Neighborhood, that's been around for a little while now. If you go up in there, the roads are still in pretty good shape. Right near the entrance of the neighborhood though, there, you can start to see some cracking. So whatever we can do to us bang for our buck to help keep that road lasting, that would be beneficial to us. So that's, so we're looking at a potential seal coat on that, just to kinda seal everything in, keep the water out of the cracks and help prevent further cracking. Number 15, this is a study, the downtown pedestrian and bicycle link study. So this would be kind of a bypass for pedestrians, bicyclists on State Route 169. We're looking at, so the study would help us determine a potential route which we can go to send bicyclists. Because as you know, through that section of road, it's pretty tight and bicyclists might prefer another way. So that's what that study would be for. And later in the 6-year tip, we'll have the actual project in there, but that will be driven by whatever the study comes up with. Number 16 is where we get really fancy with the names. It's the James Street, Park Street, Baker Street, 4th, 2nd. So this area along 3rd Avenue, so we're, some of these smaller side streets, we're just looking at how we can, you know, keep those maintained, renew them, and with asphalt projects, you know, you wanna, the more you do, the lower the tonnage cost for the asphalt. So that's what we wanna do, a lot more streets at one time, as much as possible, basically. So same thing with 17, it's Hammond, Baker, 5th, 6th Street. So as we, so north off of Lawson Street along 5th, 6th, Hammond, Baker, that area. The roads are falling apart, they're pretty narrow through there. So if there's opportunities to maybe even widen some of them a little bit, we'd like to do that. But yeah, they're starting to fall apart pretty well.
Yes.
Yes.
It's amazing the amount of traffic that we get on that little piece, that piece of Baker, right? Because everybody comes up Baker, comes up 5th, and goes back up Baker on 6th to get to, they don't have to drive past here, right? Because they don't want to stop at this intersection, or they want to go past the police department or one. But
plus you get the Sunday traffic.
Yeah, plus we get Saturday night and Sunday traffic, and Wednesday night now too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's, my wife's, but she's seen all the things, you know, online where people paint less than flattering pictures of around potholes or plant flowers in potholes. So just saying, it's in her head. I'm not saying she's done any of it, Seth, but if it happens, I don't know anything about it.
Number 18 is another developer funded project. So correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this one will be driven by the Lawson Hills Master Plan Development, so the Lawson Connector, Lawson Parkway. So 2023 might be a little early, but we'll just have to see how it all plays out.
And that'll come down into the new roundabout, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Might be an additional roundabout. Still to be determined how we're gonna route that. State's a fun place to work with. They're great partners.
You know, I think that's one of the, how do we get the word out to the citizens that we have to work with the state on anything to do with 169? Because I get the feeling that they think that just put a blessed light in there and get it over with, right? Well, we can't do that, right? I mean, it's a state highway. We have to work with the state. And if they don't want lights and they want roundabouts, then we have to work with them to
and
do
it. And they don't want any more lights.
Right.
So right now, it's kind of a moratorium on lights. If
yeah.
you want to do anything, it's roundabouts.
Yeah.
But,
and you
I mean,
and you want them to kind of drive the project so that we don't have to be in the middle of all of it.
Well, and then we don't have to pay for all the engineering pieces and stuff like that. That
exactly.
Yeah,
that they
it's
can,
the developer
can,
and the state
yeah.
that are working it. The other thing, too, the way of telling our citizens is in the newsletter. That goes out to every household
mm-hmm.
in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It can get posted on Black Diamond Residence on Facebook. That's the other really great resource. Andy wants to correct you.
Just for a correction, the state tells us what we'll build. It is then between the city and the developer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're close, but the state
but,
tells us you will build this.
Right.
We'll approve this channelization. And then it's upon your city staff and the developer or whoever is doing those improvements
right.
to work and build all that stuff.
But ultimately, the very beginning of the process
yes.
is between the state and the developer, you just have to implement what the state says, right?
Yes,
so is your clarification saying that yes, we still do engineering within the city?
Absolutely.
sent you with the raised walkway around the end. I found this great picture, it had to be in Europe somewhere, it's a roundabout with a raised pedestrian walkway around the outside of it. Told that.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Around and around.
On ramps and off ramps, pretty interesting looking, it was really cool looking, but.
Have you seen the roundabout within a roundabout that's in Europe?
People have tough enough time with these roundabouts.
Yeah. Okay, Scott.
Alright, so top of the next page, number 19, so this is currently listed as Lawson Street Phase One, we'll move this to Phase Two. So this is on Lawson Street between State Route 169 and Botch Drive. So with this one, we have some underlying concrete panels, which makes it a little more difficult to just do a standard overlay or a standard chip seal. We'd wanna level out the road first, which would involve some surface grinding. We might need to replace some of the panels or do something else to build up the base before we do something over the top.
When we work on Lawson up to Botts, is there a plan to put sidewalks on either side of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, so yeah, we'll get to that a little bit further down, so. Yep. So number 20, 232nd Avenue Southeast Overlay Phase Two. So this would pick up from Phase One at Southeast 296 to the end of the city right away. We did some patching through there with our citywide patching project we did a couple years ago. So it's set up for doing an overlay. There are some other issues with that roadway too, just some wonky right of way and stuff that we gotta figure out, so. But for right now, it's holding up pretty well. The patching seemed to have helped, so.
So are you gonna be addressing the width of the road at all when you do this? You know, it goes everywhere from what, like 12 feet to, I don't know, a lot of it's 14 feet, some of it's a little bit wider than that.
I think we'll have to, because we'll wanna, I'll defer to Seth.
Well, if we have very much widening, you can get into much higher expenses, because then, rather than just a maintenance project, then it's kind of reconstruction, and then we'll have to deal with stormwater detention and treatment, so we're getting into much higher dollars.
Okay, one other comment, and this might be the perfect time to say it. 232nd, where I think it's 298th, the gravel road.
Yep.
Intersects, and a previous homeowner decided to build a little berm, for lack of a better term. He cemented in, Andy, you know about this, he cemented in little like landscaping bricks, filled it in with some kind of really cruddy gravel, and that's a really dangerous intersection, because you've got people coming up the hill, you've got people coming southbound, you've got school buses, and this year they changed the school route, so the school bus is at the gravel road. But for years, if you meet the school bus, you're coming down the hill and the bus is coming up, there's no place for you to go, because this has been built into the right of way.
Hmm.
So I might suggest that we take care of that.
Okay, we can do that, take care of that as a maintenance. I know where you're referring to.
Right next
we
to,
would take care of
right
that
next
as
to
a maintenance.
Gucker's house.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
There are a couple of houses down from Gucker's.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, number 21 is the Rainier View overlay. This may or may not be an overlay, but a couple years ago when we were doing the patching project, we started marking out areas that needed to be patched, and it turned out it was gonna be much more major than, you know, just some patches here and there. So that neighborhood there, particularly along First Avenue, heading south from Baker Street, it's starting to go. So we need to do something to address that. So number 23, Roberts Drive Rehab from City Hall to the library. So if we can pair this with another Roberts Drive project, it's mainly just an overlay. So we already did the sidewalk through there, so it's just mainly keeping the roadway itself.
You skipped 22.
I did.
I'm purpose?
Was that on purpose?
No, no, it's a small neighborhood, so, you know, it's easy to miss.
We love you, Diamond Glen, if you're listening.
Yeah, don't diss the citizens.
So, number 22, Diamond Glen, so the streets in there, they're starting to crack, to the point where some are gonna need to be patched here real soon. So this project, it isn't much as far as, lengthened, roadway, it's about a quarter mile. It just involved patching some crack sealing and, potential overlay. With that, there are some added costs since there are sidewalks in there, and there would be some extra grinding to make sure the road all levels out, everything as well. So now we can skip over Roberts Drive, because we already talked about that. 24 is the downtown pedestrian and bicycle link, so we talked about the study earlier on that. So the study would basically drive this project.
Oh.
That's pretty aggressive.
Yeah, but, there are potential grant funds, Transportation Improvement Board, they give out grant funding for the Complete Streets program. Last several months, the Complete Streets program was passed by the city, which makes us eligible for those funds now. So it'll be a couple of years before that cycle comes up again, but, that could potentially pay for a study and a project like this, if that's the direction the city chooses to go. Number 25, Lawson Street Sidewalk Phase 2, so as you were asking about earlier. So this would connect the existing sidewalk we have here and would take it up to Newcastle Drive, so to the neighborhood there.
Why would we not take it all the way up to Botts?
That we could do as well.
If we're gonna do it, right, might as well
potentially
do it.
Andy?
One of the conditions that we wrote into the development agreement was that once any work got moving on the Lawson Hill development, they would do a substantial amount of that sidewalk coming into the city from there. It was a link that we had negotiated to make sure that that project was connected to the other development. So, I mean, we could move our way towards that, which meets our legal obligation of finding grant funding, but otherwise, in the long term, they're ultimately responsible to settle all the way down Lawson Hill.
And as far as grant funding goes, so we have looked at that section of sidewalk, basically, with Transportation Improvement Board, and what they've told us is right now it wouldn't rate well. So it's unlikely we'd get that grant. There is potential for like Safe Routes to School program, but we'd have to pair with the Enumclaw School District for that, and have to have a buy-in to not bus kids from that neighborhood up there.
But we're also talking about 5 or 6 years out.
Yep.
Where we're gonna be a different city in that time.
Yep, absolutely. Number 26, another creative name here, the 228th, 229th Avenue, 229th Place, and the 292nd Place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this would be either chip sealing, crack sealing, it could be an overlay. So the road's back in there, the kind of back behind Greenbrier, as you off of 232nd, those roads are starting to give way as well. So we'll wanna look to pair a bunch of those streets together to see if, you know, how much we can do and try to minimize the unit costs for a project like that. Number 27 is the one we were moving up to number 4.
Mm-hmm.
So Lawson Streets from Botts Drive to the city limits. As we mentioned, it's getting pretty bad out there. We're filling in potholes too frequently now. So that's one we'll wanna address in the very near future. Last on the list, we have another developer-funded project, Lawson Parkway, and then Lawson Street and Botts Drive intersection improvement, so that would be developer-driven.
With the firehouse going up there, there'll be special requirements for that kind of size-wise and light control and all that kind of stuff.
Scott, can I ask a question?
Yep.
Hey, Seth. What, I didn't see the 169 corridor access management study that we've been kind of working on and mapping. Did that fall off of our list?
I did. Well, we've already funded it, we're doing it this year.
Okay.
So it'll be done.
Okay.
So that was just a budgeted project, but we didn't have it as a part of any long-term plan.
Okay.
It's underway.
Thanks, Scott. So I was under the impression we were gonna have the capital improvement plan additions at this meeting, so I don't know. Because I wanted to deal with the stormwater vaults and why we have to add the sensitive areas ordinance before we can move forward.
And Barb was going to speak to that issue. And depending on the funding, we may not, or how we decide to fund those, we may not need to, add it to the CIP, but.
Well, I mean, I didn't attend finance, so I don't know if you guys talked about the funding piece of
this. We didn't talk to the funding piece of it, no.
So, I mean, you're absolutely right. Once we figure out whether or not we wanna use and talk to finance committee about if this is a capital project or not, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that we thought that the adoption of the comp plan would be sufficient for ecology to work with the city on that grant for the stormwater vault. And then which they've been telling you that all along, but then
yep.
Surprise, I think it was just this week, Scott or Seth got the question like, well, what about your critical area, your sensitive area ordinance, is that up to date yet? And it is not. So we need to get it done in a hurry. We always knew that the sensitive area ordinance update is a requirement of Growth Management Act. The way that the state process works through is that you update your comp plan policy. Some cities will actually embed the sensitive areas in their comp plan. We opted to do like a standalone ordinance for development regs. So we actually have obviously embedded and gone through the policy work, and we just got that done. We would have had, if we'd have finished our plan update on time, we would have had a year to do the development regulations. So there's never an expectation from the state that you're gonna have this all done in the same year. So that was kind of a but we need to get it done. We needed to get it done anyway, and so my thought is to, the state has a checklist. I've reached out to sort of get an estimate, a rough estimate on what we need to change to be consistent with the state and about how much that will cost. And I think that helped me out, but we talked about maybe ecology would be okay with the council adopting a resolution, continuing progress, we're working on it, here's our timeline and schedule for completion. And we do think that if we really move Lickety Split, we could get it done by November, which
yes.
You thought maybe would work.
So as far as ecology is concerned, it's not a done deal, but they said it could be as simple as send them a letter asking for an extension, because right now our deadline to be in GMA compliance is May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
But and we figured that, and as we've understood, getting the comp plan done, that met the requirement, and then yesterday afternoon, not quite. So so basically, they're suggesting we send them a letter, ask for an extension, give them a schedule, so the November, December timeline to get that done, and they'll see what they can do. So the person we're working with at Ecology is very open. She really wants to see it happen, since a lot of work has already gone into it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking at their options, and it's just kind of an ongoing thing right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we have to start working on that, what gets deprioritized or what gets shuffled?
Well, fortunately, I was ready to start this anyway, because we got our comp plan updated. We, the planning commission this week, had their hearing on the shoreline, that's it. So the whole GMA compliance umbrella is your comp plan, transportation, land use, housing, you know, the policy document that we worked on. Shoreline management program, which is a standalone document, but is actually referenced and adopted in the comp plan, and the critical areas ordinance. So we've got 2 out of 3 done in that compliance, and for the most part. We'll be sending a transmittal recommending a approval of the changes, so that's the work for the most part is done. The heavy lifting is done. Once you get, council gets it, you've got a planning commission recommendation on the shoreline. And so we were ready to start. We were ready, we have to start this, so it's a good question, thank you.
Any more questions, anybody? Next item on the agenda is adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.